to offer some information and some resources to communities that haven't yet had the opportunity to go forward with setting up an attraction and retention committee in their own communities. There are currently 34, I think, Chris? 34? A&R committees in Alberta, but we know that there's a lot of work left to be done, and some of the communities that came this time were communities that reached out to us that haven't really developed any kind of A&R strategies yet. So we know that there's community work to be done, and we're really dying to get in there and sink our teeth into it. So in your presentation folders, there's a toolkit in there called Starting Your A&R Committee, Attraction and Retention Committee, or something like that. That is your first resource. That's your go-to resource to get the ball rolling in your communities. What we did, because the feedback on our conference every year, the strongest positive feedback we get is usually regarding presentations by other communities. So you guys always tell us that you want to hear from like-minded communities that are going through the same struggles, that are having some success. So you take away some concrete tools. And there's no better community right now to showcase that than the community of Nanton. And we heard all about Dr. Tenove last night and his incredible journey as a family physician in rural Alberta. I'm sure Dr. Tenove would agree with this, but part of the success that they're now having in their community is because of their attraction and retention committee. So I'm going to call upon the committee chairperson, Mayor Rick Everett, and Rick and I share a common accent. So if you're ever around when we're having a glass of wine or when we're really tired, as is the case right now, you're probably picking up a little bit of an East Coast accent. And so Rick and I come from the same body of water. Great guy, has showed tremendous leadership in getting in mobilizing the people of Nanton. And his sidekick today is an incredible, talented, and committed lady by the name of Carol. You met Carol briefly last night when Dr. Tenove thanked her for a bazillion years of service. And Carol is an incredible force to be reckoned with in the town of Nanton. And her and Rick are going to take us through what their struggles have been the past year and some of the things that you can take back to your hometown and your communities in how to journey through to success, what challenges you're currently facing. So please help me welcome Rick and Carol to the podium, please. Thank you.
Standing ovation now or later? Okay. Thanks, my love. Are you a townie or Bavin? I can't remember that, right? Thanks, folks, for inviting us here today to kind of present our story. And it's kind of interesting when Kim talked to us about coming here, we said, wow, you're asking us to come present our story. So just before I get started, I'm going to let Carol spend a few minutes telling you about her, what she does, where she comes from, a little bit of background. I'll give you a little bit about me, and that may explain, I think, how we get to where we're going. And we're not really sure how the story unfolds yet. So, Carol.
Well, thank you, Kim, for the very kind words. My head's so swelled up, I can hardly stand it. Although I feel a little bit like the girl in the video that we watched this morning, I have this fear that, maybe I might be lost for words, but I know Rick will back me up, so I'm standing up here quite confident. But thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for being here and choosing this session. I hope that we can give you some insights as to how our successes. I'm really quite happy that we're here because we now have two new physicians in our community, which is a big bonus. give you a little background on myself. I truly am the country mouse. I was born and raised in Saskatchewan, as was my husband. We moved here in 1975. And as I'm driving up the White Mud Drive yesterday, I thought, why would anybody want to live here when you could live in Nanton? I've been working at the Nanton Medical Clinic with, as Dr. Tanov said last night, numerous hats. I started out as a lab technician, which is my background. I've been his office manager, and I'm now an AHS employee and considered clerical staff. So that's sort of my background. I'm really passionate about what I do in the community. It's a great pleasure to help local residents that need something from the medical field, and that's, I guess, my passion. The other thing I love to do is sew. I like putting little pieces of fabric together, and it's a challenge, so as is medicine. So thank you.
So I actually grew up in Labrador. You probably can't tell that by my voice. My dad was in the mining community, so I was in the mining area for a lot of years. I left there, went and got my education to college, went back, and I was in northwestern Ontario and decided I should go to northern Alberta, a place called Fort McMurray, which wasn't much there, and get into the mining industry with a company called Syncrude, and I spent 30 years with them. I retired to Nanton about 9 years ago, and after two retirements, because I really got bored, somebody suggested I try politics. So next thing I know, I was the mayor. So this is where the story kind of begins in this thing here. So I do a lot of work as a consultant in the organizational development and business development field, and I've done a lot of work around safety. So that's kind of where my background comes in, and maybe you'll start to see some of the stuff that we've worked together here on. So let me tell you a little bit about Nanton, because I'm sure you've all been there. How many people have been to Nanton, by the way? Oh, you've been to the candy store. Yeah? No? Oh, geez. So Nanton's about 40, 60 kilometers south of Calgary. It is, it's actually south of Okotoks, so just bypass Okotoks, by the way, and go bypass High River, and you come to the best town in Alberta. It's called Nanton. Nanton was actually founded in about 1903, and second year. It's a small community, about 2,100 people. Basically, it's a farming, ranching community. It's starting to grow. It has some very unique features. A couple of them are the Lancaster Bomber. Now, do I have a pointer here? Oh, my God. So we have the fantastic Canadian Bomber Museum. It's one of the three or four Lancasters around. All engines work. This is all about volunteers, and volunteers come in here every Tuesday night from Calgary, Lethbridge, and all around the country and work on airplanes. And it's quite a famous, Canadian Command. This is our main street, lots of antiques in our shop. And if you ever get a chance, go to a little place called the Garden Railroad. The guy every year sets up about 100 trains that actually run back and forth through tunnels and everything else, and it's quite an interesting thing. So, wrong button. Okay, so we're on Highway 2, about 40 minutes south of Calgary, about 2,100 people, incorporated in 1903. We're in the MD of Willow Creek. We're on the north side of the Willow Creek. Primary industry is about farming and ranching. Our biggest employer in our community is our Silver Willow Lodge, our Mosquito Creek Foundation, which is our senior lodge. They employ about 80 residents and about 85 employees. And our nearest hospital is the High River Hospital. Carol.
Okay. The Nanton Community Health Center is probably the only medical facility in our town. I guess the other thing I've Rick, like to point out which one, Rick? Sorry?
The big green one.
No, to my little green light.
A little green light.
Yeah, my pointer. Anyway, up in the top right-hand corner is a little map of Nanton. If you can see that or where it stands, it's halfway between the town of High River and Claire's home. And we serve the areas of the MD of Ranchland, the Willow Creek, and the town of Nanton. So that is our, and with a catchment population of about 4,000 to 4,500. The building is owned by the Mosquito Creek, Willow Creek MD. It's also owned by the District of Ranchland, Municipal District of Ranchland, and the town of Nanton. And the town of Nanton is the managing partner in this. The clinic itself, the building, is over 35 years old, and it's currently under being reassessed for replacement. So this is our one of our goals, too, down the road. And it's leased and managed by Alberta Health Services. Tracy Mitchell, the Claire's, is our site manager, and she manages both the Claire's Home Hospital and our Nanton Clinic. So funding. It's supported by Alberta Health Services. It's Alberta Health and Wellness and the Calgary Rural Primary Care Network, as well as RPAP, the Rural Physician Action Plan. Our physicians are salaried by an alternate relationship plan, and no doc, David Kay spoke about this morning. It's negotiated with Alberta Health and Wellness and the Alberta Medical Association. It's not a fee for service. And I'm sure if you have any questions, Dr. Tanov over here can certainly answer them for you after our presentation. Dr. Tanov is our lead clinician and authorized representative, and he's been with the clinic for over 35 years. So some of the services that we have in town, our clinic is a primary, or the services from the clinic, it is run as a primary health care model. We have 2.5 physicians. We have two nurse practitioners filling in a one FTE or full-time equivalent position. We have home care. We have public health. We have a laboratory collection site. There's no on-site testing here. It's just a collection site. And we also have visiting consultants for diabetic counseling, mental health and psychogeriatric services, and social workers. These are all under the one roof. We are truly the primary health care model, which was launched in our community in April of 2002. And this integrated model of client care, centered care, has proved to be very helpful, not only for the physicians and the health care workers, but for the patients as well. It has worked very well for us. And supporting services. We didn't have thought we should have a pinup girl. And Rick was out the other day walking down the streets of town. A couple of the ladies from the Silver Willow Lodge, our local seniors facility, were sitting in front of the drugstore waiting for their prescriptions to be filled. And I don't know whether this was a plug for drive-up drugs or whether it was they were just enjoying the Alberta day. So he took their pictures. They said, please, have you got one of those fancy little cameras on your telephone? So he took a picture. So these are our local pinup girls or our poster girls. We have a physiotherapist in town, a chiropractor, dentist, an optician, and of course the pharmacy, which I just told you about. And we also have FCSS, which is our Family and Community Support Services. They are a separate building from us, but are definitely add to our community. As far as we are, thanks, Rick, for running this. I can't do two things at once, as you can tell. It's an engaged, we feel we are an engaged community. We have a handy van, which is operated by volunteers. We get significant funding from the community. And we also have an adult day program, which is run by some staff and also by volunteers. We have Meals on Wheels, which are prepared by our Silver Willow Lodge, the seniors facility, and they are delivered by volunteers as well. We have some very active service clubs. We have some very local entrepreneurs who have raised and donated funds for the purchase of clinic equipment. We also have an ambulance, local ambulance, which is, receives funding from our MD and the town MDs and the town of Nanton. And it is actually, I guess Rick says, a response unit. Doesn't, if you want to talk on that.
Sure, we'll switch.
So
let me kind of give you the history of what happened. So as just to kind of help you out, I was new as a mayor, never been in politics before, although I had, interesting enough, I've been a consultant on the other side, working with councils and administration, but now I was on that side. My council, five of the seven, we only had two return councillors. Everybody totally is new in the whole council. So, matter of fact, on May the 24th, the clinic was essentially operating with 2.5 physicians. We were doing really well. We had all kinds of other things going on in the community at the time with floods, et cetera, but we were doing really well. Then we got a rumor. Rumors started floating around town. We got a doctor leaving. They may be leaving the end of June. We went, what? The doctor's leaving? Nobody talked to the community, the rumor mill. And in Nanton, if you start the rumor at 9 o'clock at 9:05, the town knows it. So just one of those things I've learned after I got there. So then it was quickly followed by another rumor that the second physician was going to leave. We thought, what the heck is going on here? I had no idea what to do. Didn't know where anybody was going. We didn't even know why they were leaving. So we said, we got to do something about this. So I had at the time, we had an acting CAO because our other CEO had left. So I had an acting CEO. We looked at each other and said, wonder why they're leaving. So we chose to go and do extra interviews. We said, we need to know why people are going here. That's an old, that comes back from my organizational days. Why are people leaving? So we went out. The first thing we did is we did the two exit interviews. I had the CEO do one, and I did the other, so we'd have different information and brought it together and said, okay, we got an understanding that they want to go, and they had some reasons for going. They were confidential conversations. So, okay, we understand that. So then we thought we better get a hold of PCN, because essentially, we didn't know where we were going. This first time I'd ever run into a situation where I had to look for physicians. So we got a hold of PCN. They came down and met with us, a fellow by the name of Joe McGilvery at the time. And we said, Joe, what do we do? Where do we go? What do we say? At the same time, we met with Dr. Tanov and said, Dr. Tanov, where are we going to go here? What are we going to do? We had no committee. We had nothing. So we met with the clinic representative, the physicians, we met with PCN, and we said, okay, based on that, we think we got to go out and at least get something formed. So on June the 1st, here's the dilemma. There would be 2.5 physicians. June the 30th, we'd be down to 1.5 physicians. We finally get convinced one other physician to hang in for a while. We knew by September 30th, we'd be down to 0.5 physicians and hopefully some locums. So that was our dilemma. We didn't know where we were going. People in the community had heard about it. It was not anything secret. People were always saying, where do I go for doctors? I was getting phone calls. Everybody was at the town office getting all kinds of phone calls, and we're trying to figure out where we're going to go. So we looked for information from the previous committee. That was an interesting challenge. We said, okay, was there ever a committee before? I went and met with the previous mayor. I said, John, was there any committee before? Well, you know, we hired the doctors before, but we never had a real official committee. Well, was there any notes taken or anything? Well, there might have been some agreements, but it wasn't really there. We said, oh, okay, well, what do we do now? Like, we were struggling where to go. What was interesting is that we had the council had hired a project manager to assist our acting CAO, a lady by the name of Sharon Platt, out of Southern Alberta, just a super, super lady. And she said, I have some contacts. You guys need to set up a committee, Rick. So, okay, good. She got a hold of a bunch of contacts, and she pulled the very first meeting. That meeting consisted of the following group. There was the Rural Physician Action Plan. Kim McKinnon was there. And Kim, I'll put a plug in for you after. You paid me enough, so I'll make sure. AHS Department of Rural Medicine, Andrea was there to help us. Tracy Mitchell, which is our clinic manager. Joe McGilvery from the Primary Care Network. Dr. Tanov was there because he was the one physician was hanging in. As you know, 37 years, he's still hanging in there. We brought in counselors from the two MDs and the town of Nanton. The project manager, Sharon, and myself. Now, I want to tell you how important that meeting really became. It was the most critical meeting that I think we ever ran into. We had presentations by Kim. Kim sat there and started to talk to us about what was going on. Here's what you do for a committee. And I think the package you had a copy of. That toolkit, by the way, is absolutely fundamental for us. We went through that toolkit with her that night. We began to understand, I think that's this one, the community recruitment approach. It's absolutely fabulous. We went through what are the roles we have to play? What are the roles of stakeholders? Who should vote? Who shouldn't vote? How do you set up the committee? What is the committee? What's the purpose of the committee? Where do we find terms of reference? How do we pull this thing together? And then I'm part of another group. I was able to talk to some of my fellow mayors in other areas. For example, Mayor Robinson here from Okotoks. He said, here's some things we've done. Here's where we're going. So I was able to pull that information together as well. So Department of Rural Medicine was there with Andrea and them. And they said, look, here's what we can help you, but here's what we can't do for you. And finally, we got an agreement to set up an independent committee. The deal there was, though, that the mayor and the project manager were to set it up. Everybody was saying, you guys go set it up and just tell us who you want. So it was became even more interesting. I thought, geez, the part-time mayor thing is a lot of fun. So on representatives of the polling were asked to attend, so we pulled this together. So understand, we're losing people here. The first doctor is going to be gone the end of June. So the beginning of June, we had our first organizational meeting. And we pulled this group together, and we said, we pulled the MD reps, the counselors, et cetera, and we said, these are our voting members. Then we pulled together in the same room with us, AHS, the Department of Rural Medicine, our clinic manager, Kim, and our Calgary Rural PCN, Joe. And they sat in there as well. We said, okay, let's pull this together. So, of course, being the mayor and sitting there, they said, okay, you're the leader. You run the committee. So that's how that began. That's how we organized that quickly. But we also had to say, what are we going to do? How do we pull this together? Teach us how to attract doctors. And I need to tell you, pulling all those people in the same room at the same time, having the same conversation, was the most critical thing we did. Because AHS, Andrea would say, you know, when I talk to doctors, here's the information I get, here's what we want to do. How are you selling the town? What is it about your town? So we had to talk about that. And Kim would say, well, you know, but when you bring people here, what are you going to do with them? We went, we don't know. Well, I guess we'll take them on a tour. No, you got to be more structured than that. And I need to tell you, we were absolutely unstructured when we started this thing as we started down the path. So we pulled that first meeting together and said, okay, if something happens, we get a doctor, we'll look after it. So after the meeting, we also added two new members. We said, what we really need here is more community representation. So we went out and got somebody from the schools. We said, you know what? There's lots of kids in our school. They need help as well. We want a representative from the high school. We don't got somebody from the Chamber of Commerce. Said, you know, that represents a large portion of town. We want a member from the Chamber of Commerce. Then we don't got a member at large, and Carol joined us as the member at large. And then recognizing that our Silver Willow Lodge was our senior and the biggest employer with lots of help needed from our physicians, we also brought in the executive director, the CAO of our CEO of the lodge. So she joined the group as well. So now we had a well-rounded group that represented all the town and as well as represented all our stakeholders. And that was, I think, probably probably the most critical thing we did. It gets everybody engaged in the conversation. So your resources that can help you are sitting beside you. So it's not about trying to reach out and say, oh, can you tell us what to do? They're walking hand in hand with us. And I think that was one of the critical moments that helped move us on. We also then reviewed a draft terms of reference. And by the way, we never did finish term of reference until, I think, September or something. So although we had one, it wasn't a critical issue. We named the committee, as you know, the Natanan area, because we have two MDs associated with this. So we call it the Natanan area position attraction and recruitment committee. So that's why we pulled that name together that way. And then we organized the committee and decided how we're going to run it. What are the ways that we're going to run the meeting? What's the frequency for running the meeting, et cetera. So we got that done in as fast as we could in June. The bottom line is, this is what the committee looks like at the end of the day. So everybody's represented, and by the way, one thing about this group, I need to say this, and it kind of ties into the last presentation we had. There is no language in this group that says no possibility. The only language in this group is possible. And I want you to understand the difference. Because if you have conversations of no possibility, in other words, you keep sticking in the past and can't move it to the future, you will not move. This group always said, we can do it, we'll make it, and we'll move forward. And it was funny, when we first started looking at this topic, we said, how did we really do it? I mean, and honestly, to put it on paper, I'm not sure we've even captured the energy that was in the room. How are we doing for time? Oh, I'm doing okay. So this piece was... this piece is really a critical piece, and it was quite an interesting discussion about this, and was a discussion in the committee, and when we first formed the committee, we said the committee decided it was not going to offer any additional funding to any candidate. And that's an interesting philosophy to start with. Instead, each position that came to town was going to be asked the following question. What will it take for you to come to our community? Because not everybody needs money. Many people move because of their family, because of the location, because of the house, because of the work environment. And in fact, that proved out for us. The other thing that our stakeholders advise is that there was evidence that those physicians that may have been attracted because of the dollars, at the end of the contract, they were gone. We did not want that to happen. This was not an easy discussion, because it's a lot easier if you can go out and just, here, we'll give you an extra $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000. But I guess that's not true. We did offer them free golf. Okay, that's the only thing they got offered, was free membership to the golf course. Okay. Oh, wrong way. So the other thing that Kim and Andrea and Joe and the rest of the people taught us was the following things. How are we going to work together? What happens if a physician gets interested? That was the most interesting. So if we get a call tomorrow and a physician is interested, what the heck do we do? So we had to sit down and kind of figure out, well, maybe we just take him for lunch. And God bless Kim back over there, and I'll give her a bottle of Screech one of these days for it, is how she would say, no, you got to be more prepared, Rick. You guys got to get yourself together. What does the committee need to have ready? We had nothing ready. Absolutely nothing. Just a funny story. For the very first physician that we met with, he had found the town. He was out of Reno, Nevada. He found the town, and the story was that his wife was originally from High River, wanted to move back, and he was looking, and he kind of liked the way our community was, et cetera, was set up. So all of a sudden, within the first 2 weeks of having this committee, or 3 weeks of having the committee, we were told we got a physician coming to town. We went, oh, what do we do now? So we actually ended up taking him to lunch and doing the rest of it. We had nothing to hand out to him. However, what we did have is a great stakeholder resource team. So what we learned here is we could tap in, or they could help us. So we would get a phone call saying, this doctor has two young children. Here's what they want to do. By the way, they're interested in acreages, et cetera, et cetera. So So, true story, we're all sitting to lunch, Dr. Tanov and his wife Lorna and a group of us sitting around together having lunch with his wife. And he said, you know, oh, but before I go out there, I should tell you, one of our counselors is a real estate person. So I said to her, I called her up because I'd heard they want an acreage. I said, can you find me all the acreages, all in southern Alberta? And I need you to come on the tour with me. I want you to come and meet the doctor, because one of the things that I think we forget is there's a spouse involved in many cases, whether it's male or female, I don't care. And in this case, I wanted to make sure with their two young children, our counselor has young children. She could talk about schools. She could talk about safety in the community. She could tell you what, could talk a language that I'm not able to talk about. I mean, my great-granddaughter, I can't, that's a whole, I'm way past that generation. So what became interesting is we're sitting here having lunch, and the doctor says, you know what, I'd really, really interested in getting an acreage. I think that'd be really important. And our counselor, Henley, said, just a minute, doc. And which acreage would you like to have? And it literally blew him away that we were that ready to talk to him about that acreage. So having that relationship with the stakeholder is so critical, or at least we found it so critical to us, that we could prepare ourselves. We had nothing to hand out to him, but I can tell you within the next couple of weeks, we had everything to hand out after that, right? Where am I, Carol?
Okay,
I'll change it. Okay. So we developed a pre-tour process. We said, okay, after the first doc, we got to find a different way to do this. So we developed a pre-tour process. So basically, what would happen is AHS does all the work they need to do with getting the physician, checking them out, doing all the credential stuff. That's none of my business. I ain't worried about it. That's what you got to do. But what they would do then is contact Dr. Tanov, and Dr. Tanov would start talking to that physician. Really critical piece of work. So that's physician to physician. I can't deal with that stuff. That's the language they need to talk to. Then he would do that, and then they would contact me as the chair of the committee and say, here's some things you need to know about the candidate you're going to see. And we would try and do everything we could to prepare. So by then, oh, what'd you do with that folder, Kim? Oh, here, give me one. Okay. So by then, we had put together this little folder. And by the way, it was nothing magical. What we said is, what are the features of our town? What do we have going on? And we made sure the mayor's card was in the front. All right? So we didn't have time to do a lot of things here. And you're welcome to look at them later. So then we organized the tour. And by the way, it was based on the information we received. So for example, one of our doctors and his wife thought they'd like to have an acreage out by the mountains. So guess where the tour went? We took him out to the mountains. We didn't have to show him everything about the town because he wanted to see the mountains. All right. So we learned here to be flexible in how we met with the physicians and their needs. We'd meet the physician, and on the tour, they came to town. We did not meet them. They went directly to the clinic. We wanted the first impact to be physician to physician, rather than to the committee. Now, that's just the way we decided to do it. We'll learn from all you folks that have done this more than we have, and been at it a lot longer than we have. The mayor and council would then take the candidate and their spouse to lunch. And sometimes it was just two of us. We didn't always ask Dr. Tanov or anybody else to come with us. Sometimes we tried to build that relationship with the candidate. And we didn't bring the whole committee. I think that's kind of overpowering in some cases. Then we took him on the tour throughout the town. Interesting story. Dr. Wilters, who's one of our doctors here now, we have this beautiful aircraft museum. So what we learned in some of our tours is we drive by and say, have you ever seen the aircraft museum? And they go, no, that'd be nice. So we took him in. We couldn't get him out. He got in there. He got so interested in the work they're doing and the restoration they're doing. I think he's coming to sign up to help do the restoration. And it helped bring him to the community, actually. But what we learned is, and the other thing we learned about our community is, if we had a physician on tour, I'd be able to walk over to any one of the museums and say, oh, hold it. I got a position on the wife on tour. Can we come in? Yeah, come on in. Show them around. Don't worry about anything. Rick, whatever you want, let me know. So people were just excited that we would even bring them to their museum or their business just to show them around. So the community was absolutely engaged. And the beauty was one business talked to another. Did you see what Rick was doing? Did you see what the counselor was doing? Did you see what they did? Oh, we got a position in town. The community all of a sudden is rallying around everything we did. After that, we exchanged information. Now, I have to admit, and I'll tell you what I did say to every physician, and some of you may think that it was wrong or right, but it doesn't matter. One of the concerns I had about our community is I had this issue about why would a physician come to my community or our community, spend a year or 2 years and leave? Why would you do that? Why would you do that to the community? Never mind yourself. Why in the hell would you do that to a community? 2,100, 2,200 people accepted you in the community and bring you in and you just leave? So, not being one to confront issues very well, every time I got a physician by themselves, and I would say to my fellow counselor, why don't you show her over there a little bit? I need a little conversation. And I have to be honest, I was very frank with the physicians. I'd say, you know, doc, we would love to have you in our community. You would be a hell of an asset to come here. But I need to be very plain straight with you. I don't want you to come if you're only coming for 2 years or 3 years. I don't want this town to go through this again. This is a struggle in this community. They believe in their physicians. They believe in their clinic. Don't come here for 2 or 3 years, please. If that's all you're planning, thank you and have a great day. We just don't need you here. I want somebody to come for a long haul. And every physician said to me afterwards, thank you for that. So I believe we got to be frank with folks. And it's not taken away from their respect or their integrity. Just want them to understand where there's another side to every coin. Not only are you looking at us, we're looking at you. This is a two-way street. And I want to be really clear about that. You have a choice. Right? Am I behind it? How are we doing, Kim?
Hi.
Hey, love, tell me what's going on. Okay. Post-tour. Lead physician, so this was as critical as well. Dr. Tanov would stay in contact with them. How's it going? What do you need? I would turn around within 2 days, send a thank you note for coming to visit our community. We'd be glad to have you. Was no pressure, just thanks for coming to visit us and seeing us. Make sure we had all the contact information. And of course, Andrea would be staying in touch from the EH side. Within 1 week, lead physician again contacts a candidate. I would follow up. Anything else you need, anything we can do to help you out. It was a definite process. If real estate was needed, in our case, our counselor would call up and say, anything else you need around real estate, anything else we can do to help you, anything else we can show you. And then, of course, the Department of Rural Medicine would, this was a piece that was really important. Andrea would feel good about calling us up and say, look, on your next visit, you might want to think about this. You might want to think about that. Or here's some feedback I got. We thought that was really critical because we could change things and move things around. This piece I thought was really important for me, anyway, as the mayor. Any candidate decided not to set up practice in that clinic received a note from the mayor thanking them for their visit, wished them well in their search to set up their respective practice, and hope they visit our community again. And in fact, we had one young couple. He was a new physician that had come. He was torn whether he wanted to go with us or go to another place. He chose somewhere else. And when I sent this note, he said, I guarantee you, based on the tour you took us on, we're definitely coming back to your town because we love your little community. So you know what? I didn't get a physician, but I got another customer, and I got somebody else that likes our town. So I didn't lose. Well, the town didn't lose. We still gained. And he may go somewhere else and say, you know that little town in Manhattan? They got a heck of a deal, that ARP. That's a way to run it. Oh, geez, I better hurry up here.
Done that one.
That's yours? No, that's mine. I already done that one. Thank you, love. That's what happens when they get me going. I'm sorry, right? Okay, this is yours. You want me to press that or you?
I'll let you press it.
Okay, you go ahead. Okay, I got it for you.
And these are the results of our efforts. We now have Dr. Doolin Hastings. He's the doctor from Reno, Nevada. He came here with his wife and two small sons. Well, I shouldn't say small, 8 and 10 years old. They had contacted Dr. Tenov and the AHS, and they recruited them. They recruited and began in January of this year, 2015, January the 5th. They were delayed a bit with immigration. They were could have started sooner, but due to delays with immigration, or the not necessarily, I shouldn't say delays, but with the immigration process took a little longer. Our second physician who actually started first was Dr. Petrus Wilters from South Africa, came via Corner Book Newfoundland. They have two daughters, him and his wife, come here for, and their two daughters are living in Calgary, going to school at the U of C, and so they wanted to be here to be closer to their family. And he began December 1st. It was a much easier process for him to get through because he was already Canadian registered. Okay. So the first day at the clinic, and this was an exciting day. Prior to their arrival, Mayor Rick had let them know that each physician, that they would be wanted a bio from them. They gave us this to put in the local paper. We informed them that there would be an interview at work, and we also informed them that there would be a meet and greet evening planned in January. So the first day at the clinic, here they are with the town CAO, the new doctor, Dr. Hastings, and Mayor Rick.
Okay.
So we decided that this was a celebration, and as we've learned today, we have to take advantages of all those little things. So we planned a celebration for, actually it was the 13th of January. We had coffee, we had cake, we had the media there, and we had welcome speeches. The doctors got to cut the cake, and everybody had a good time. It was well received by not only the physicians, but by the community themselves. They had an opportunity to see them there in person. And something else that went over, it started out as just an idea as a for a conversation starter, was to put up some photos. We asked the two physicians if they could come up with some photos. Thank goodness for modern technology and digital photographs. They were able to send us some without going through their boxes, some that hadn't been unpacked. And this really went over big with not only the physicians, but the community. And probably a really cute story to it was Dr. Hastings' two little boys were quite ready to explain to any passerby what all those photos were about, the sheep and mutton busting pictures, their family holidays. And the adults quite enjoyed the Wilters' pictures of South Africa as well as from Newfoundland. So this went over quite well, and we actually kept them up in the Nanton Clinic, so those have been quite well received.
There you go.
And additionally, what our committee did is we nominated Dr. Tenov for the 2014 Rural Alberta Physician Award of Distinction, as you're probably all aware from last night. We really felt that he was certainly deserving of this, and I'd like to thank RPAP for this sponsoring this award. It says a lot for rural medicine, and we as people in rural Alberta really do appreciate any promotion for the need and expression for the need of physicians in a rural area. And it also has given us as a community an opportunity to say thank you to Dr. Tenov for all his years of service. We really do appreciate it and appreciate what you have done for us and our community. So Thank you again, John. And also thank you to the committee for choosing him. I know there are lots of rural physicians that are very worthy of this award and do lots of good things for their community. But thank you for choosing ours, because we think he's special. You can tell it's a mutual admiration society.
Give her a hell, Carol. Give her a hell.
Okay, I think that's... We're also planning on the 28th of March a celebration for Dr. Tenove, and we're quite looking forward to that, and the community will be there in force. So thank you so much to Kim, and especially to Jonathan, wherever you are, Jonathan, for all your efforts in helping us plan this and arrange it. It's greatly appreciated. And we also have plans for a National Physician Day. We thought we'd like to do something special for them, and we have some ideas, something very simple, but hopefully it was something that they will like and enjoy. And our other next plan is things, as you say, shift changes. The community's focus has to, our committee's focus has to change. We are now in a state of retention, and this is something that we need to work on. We've certainly appreciated some of the ideas that have come forth today, and I think this has given us some ideas of, that we can take back to Nanton as to what we can do to retain the two physicians that we have.
So, kind of winding it down, we thought, well, wonder if we could help by putting down lessons learned. What did we learn from this in our short period of time? And I'm sure you can help us learn some more as we move along. So the first one is about relationships. It's really important that you've got to build a set of strong relationships with your stakeholders, within your community, within resources in your community. One of the things that we've learned is if this happens again, we hope it never does, that we need to be ready to at a moment's notice. Because what happened before is there's a sense of it's a forever. Well, we got two doctors. We're good for years. Don't worry about it. Everything is fine. And you've got to stay on top of it, or at least we think we have to stay on top of it, stay engaged with them. The whole community needs to be involved. And that was the interesting part to our community. They got engaged. They knew we were doing things. And when we would take them to different museums or different places to eat, people said, oh, that's the new doc. Is he coming to town? So they got engaged, and they were all there behind us trying to help us out. Carol, jump in anytime you want. We need to be innovative in our approach. What we discover is flexibility. So with the young physician and his wife, that was a whole different tour. They had different needs. They had different needs around housing. They had different needs of transportation. And we were going out of our way to say, if you come, we can help you with this. Or here's some other ideas. And that became really important for them, that we could offer them different ideas for their housing, their situation, different than somebody that was coming in with a young family. They had no children, and she lived in one place, and he had to move to what ended up moving to Nanton, so we needed to figure that out. So you have to be innovative. The second part was when we did the tour with them, we had to be different, because they didn't want to see the same things as the big aircraft museum or something. They wanted to go and look at houses, places you could rent, things you could do, because they were just starting out. So you had to be really flexible in how you did that. And thanks to the stakeholders, that works. We think you always need to have a core group involved, and that's why I think your committees, and I'm sure same as ours, that's why we're looking at how do we become different? How do we keep people together? How do we keep the committee together? And that's our next move. We got to redesign that. We're still working hard because we got the celebration coming up for the doctor, and we're not saying a lot about celebration because he doesn't know what's going on. So we're just telling them be there, we'll look after him kind of thing, right? And if that doesn't, the Scotch will, so we're not too worried about it, right? But you need a group to keep an eye on the ball, because that's essentially what happened. The ball dropped, doctors left, and we went, damn, what do we do? We had no history, nothing to back ourselves up on. We need to be prepared. The committee has to be ready at all times in the event anything should happen. We need to identify those resources in the community. So by going out and finding the chamber and the schools, et cetera, was quite interesting because just as a hint on our celebration, because of our contact through the school, we were able to get the high school students in the school to help us with the celebration and set it up because they're part of the committee now. So those are the little things that worked for us. This one is really ties back to the conversation after lunch, the conversation of change. And I want to spend a couple minutes here, and I know we only got 10 minutes left. She's my control as well. When you bring, in our case, we brought two new physicians in. One came from Reno, Nevada. The other one came through Newfoundland from South Africa. What's interesting is you're bringing different blood and different thinking into an environment that may be somewhat consistent for a period of time. They become habituated in the way the system works. What I've learned through this process is we could have probably done better with the staff to get them ready for the new physicians, because they're coming in different. In some cases, one of the physicians was younger, came from the States, whole different set of ideas, a whole different way he did and under that system. It literally changed the way, so you have to get the staff ready. The doctors have to be ready to understand there's change. The staff needs to be ready to understand there's change. The trouble is if you don't do that, there's a concept of alignment in organizations that says, if you draw a big arrow for your organization heading one direction, and inside that are all the little arrows of the people, and they're going in different directions, you're not going to move. But if you can align those arrows somewhat in a direction, you will move the whole arrow down the road. Doctors need to understand, especially new doctors coming into a clinic, you can't go and change everything. There's a set routine. That's great, you're a physician coming in, but there's a routine here. Secondly, staff, there are new doctors. You got to be ready for that as well. So either you walk hand in hand, which is good leadership, because if you're pulling them along as a physician and saying, staff, come on, you're pulling along, you're going to get all the resistance. And if you're in a back end pushing, guess what? You get more resistance. So how do you learn to work it together to walk hand in hand? So for me, one of the things I've learned in this committee and working with some of the physicians and working with Dr. Tanovas, how critical that conversation is when you bring new physicians in. It's not only about the physician, it's about the folks they're going to be working with as well. So if I can say that, that was really an important piece for me. So that's the effects of change. And keeping the community informed, one of the things we did not do well at, we felt that, okay, we had the physicians that were making commitments and coming through AHS and everybody else, but we never had the sign. It wasn't signed on the dotted line, so we didn't want to announce it. While you're waiting, what we discovered while we're waiting for that is we were losing some of our patients to some of the other towns. Now we're trying to get them back. That is a time frame. That takes work. So one of the things we would do next time is how do we keep our community engaged? How do we keep them informed? In our case, they drive 27 kilometers. They can see other doctors. It was about how do we keep them informed so we can keep our clinic running and keep the respect in the clinic. Anything you want to add?
No, I think Rick has covered this all very well. It has been a learning curve for us in the staff to get along with two new faces, and I shouldn't say we get along very well. It's just getting used to everybody's work habits and what works for everybody. So it is a learning curve.
So 5 minutes, we're right there. I got it. Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad I don't work for RPAP with Kim. Holy smoke. So just to kind of conclude it for us is every rural community is unique. You got to be able to capture and articulate your uniqueness. We were able to say, you know what? 2 hours, you can be skiing in Fernie. In 30 minutes, I can have you fly fishing in the mountains. In 10 minutes, actually, providing there's not too many people at the stop sign, you could be at the golf course golfing. Okay? Well, 10, maybe 11 minutes. So there's uniqueness about where you're at. In 45 minutes, I can be at the airport in Calgary, flying, getting ready to go on a plane. We found if we could sell our community, and that's what we sold was the community. You got to find community promoters, and that was the beauty. Wherever we went, and we made sure we took the prospective candidates to those places where we knew people in the community would say, hey, you could be our new physician. Welcome, man. It'd be nice to have you here. We knew those spots in town. And we made sure they went and met those folks without us trying to sell it all the time. Because they need to see the community. They don't need to see me or Carol or the counselor. They need to see the community to feel what that feels like. Committees must be educating the operation of the medical clinic. That was a thing that we learned as well, is as you go along, how does your clinic work? Right? So that when we're out on a tour and they're asking us a question, at least we can provide some kind of answer. The first couple times we kind of looked, I can remember my fellow counselor looking at me and goes, what the hell are they talking about? Like, I don't know, let's just keep moving along. So we had to go back and learn. So that's how we learned along the process. And we only suggest that you utilize all of your stakeholders locally, make sure resources are locally, but those stakeholders. I'll be honest with you, we could not have got here without Kim and Andrea and Joe. They were like, they sat beside us, and every time we tried to do something, they'd say, well, have you thought about it this way before? No, geez, we didn't. Well, why don't you try it this way? Or our experience is that here's what we've experienced at another place, and this is what worked. So I can only tell you from our perspective that was absolutely critical and still is. They still come to our meetings. We're not done yet, so they still come to our meetings. Carol, anything? So that concludes for us. If there's any questions, we appreciate the opportunity. I'm sure there's others here done a lot more than we have, but this is our starting out story. And guess what? In 4 months, we've got two physicians.